Amen. Wow. Wow. Singing like they believe it. Amen. Wow, 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 wow. I just want to say, Carson, I don't know if you're in here. Rebecca, I don't know if you're in here. But can we just give a thanks for all the effort they did with the children that we saw earlier as well. We just give God praise for that. So excited for what God is going to do in this service as well. Men, you can make your way forward. We can continue to worship through our tithes and offerings. But I just want to make you known, make known of one thing here, and I don't see him yet. Mr. Buddy, you're going to throw up your hand. There he is. Mr. Buddy Adcock and his sweet wife are here this morning. I tell you, we've been praying for you. We want to continue to pray for you, that you continue to fight and be strong. We're so glad that you are here this morning. Children, you're dismissed for children's worship. And just in a moment, we're going to pray. But dear friends, you heard Miss Linda say a moment ago, if you're our guest, this is your first time here. If you'd be so kind to tear that off, this is the time to do so. If you're our guest, fold it up, drop it in the offering plate as it goes by in just a few seconds. Now, members, something else ought to go in there as it goes by, okay? And so we are glad that you're here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the song we just heard. You are forever glorified. We praise you. We thank you for the way that you have given to us. It's the desire of our hearts to give back to you. Would you use this offering to advance your gospel here locally and globally? It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
As we take up the offering, stand and worship with us again this morning.
Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing, worthy of all of the offerings we bring. You are worthy.
orchestra, excellent job. Choir, I am so, so proud of you. Pastor Dustin, I almost thought you were going to take flight there for a moment. Didn't they do an excellent? Can we give God praise and glory? I tell you, what an excellent morning. They have definitely set the tenor and the tone for us to examine the Word of God together this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word, would you be finding your way to Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 and following? We're going to be taking some time to examine those. I just can't tell you enough how much I have enjoyed the singing, and the dance this morning was just fantastic as well. I am so eager to jump into the apex of our worship here to hear from God Himself. We have been on a journey over the last month, and we've been looking at the crime scene investigation of Jerusalem. We've went from place to place and examined certain spots. We went over there to the garden, and we watched and we listened as we heard our suffering Savior. We saw His sorrow. We heard His supplication and His prayer ascend to His Father. We saw His great strength in the garden that night. And then there were those who came, and the betrayer kissed Him, and they led Him away as we saw an unjust trial. We witnessed one of the most unjust trials in human history, and we listened when our Savior said nothing. It was silence that our Savior exhibited in those trials. It was a miracle by itself as we saw the sinless Savior of the world be still and quiet as He was accused of blasphemy. Then we watched and we listened and we turned this room into a very courtroom, you remember. And we made a verdict that day as we saw the scars on the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as they beat Him, as they drug Him out, as He carried that crossbeam to that vertical crossbar we looked at this last week, where they put His body to the cross. We examined the crucifixion of our Lord. We landed on a phrase last week that I want to just bring back before you. It was His grace in my place. Amen? It was His grace in my place. And I submit to you right now, the verses that we're going to be looking at, some of you already glanced through, these are probably and most likely not your life verses. There are probably some verses that are very unfamiliar to you. In fact, to be totally transparent before you, I'm a little ashamed of this, but I've never preached on the burial of Jesus Christ. I've always preached on the crucifixion, and then I get so excited, I skip right over the burial, and we got to get Him resurrected. But dear friends, the gospel is this: the death, the burial, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. And so I want to just pause us right before we head into the Holy Week. I want us to examine and look at one of the greatest tenets of our faith. And the fact is that Christ was buried for you and I. If able this morning, would you rise out of reverence for the reading of God's Word as we examine the page of Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 66. The Word of God says this: "Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him." Verse 59. "When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which had been cut out of rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb, and he departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting opposite of the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate. They gathered together to Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come and by night and they steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Verse 65, Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you know how. So they went, made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Let's bow together. Father, it's in the name of Jesus I ask that you would use me as an empty vessel this morning to communicate your truth. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord, my God, my Redeemer, I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want us to begin to just kind of walk through our text together this morning, and I want us to begin with the preparations of his burial. If you're taking notes, if you have the handout in front of you, let's begin with the preparations of his burial. There's something very significant taking place here. When we see in verse 57, now when evening had come. Evening is now coming. The Sabbath is near. It's not just the Sabbath hour that we're approaching. It's the Passover as well. So those who are of the Jewish descent and those who are the leaders of the day are very concerned about this. They had very tight rules on this, that we ought to keep the Sabbath holy, that you were to have all the preparations made in advance. And so here, you know, kind of just press pause. It's still a good thing to keep the Sabbath holy. Still a good thing to take a rest. Now I'm preaching to the choir. I want you to know this. But it's still a good thing to have a day of rest. They are to keep the Sabbath holy. They have all sorts of commandments that they're following here. And they are preparing for the Passover, the Sabbath. But what's really interesting, they did not want a body hanging up when Passover was coming too. They wanted to get down this body as quick as possible. So they go in to Pilate. And they remember the commandments of the Exodus 16, and they are prepared. But what's so fascinating about this is that God is using his enemies at this point to work about his plan. You remember the crucifixion scene we just painted a moment ago, and Jesus is on the cross. Well, guards would come at this point as in preparation for the Sabbath, and they would take the victims, and they would take a tool and crush the legs of the thieves or criminals, and because they would be able to stand up on that cross and get a little breath, but in order to just make it official and end their very lives, they would take their legs and crush them. And as the guards came and took that tool and just swiped out one of the thieves, and he went over to the other and took the other thief out, then he turned his eyes to Jesus of Nazareth. Already appearing dead, they took what they called the death blow, and they took a spear into his side without ever breaking his leg. And Jesus' heart, carrying the world of sin upon his shoulders, erupted that day as blood and water flowed out. Never breaking his legs. The preparations for his burial, what's so fascinating about this, as we're seeing the preparations of Scripture fulfilled, let me remind you of Psalm chapter 34, verse 20. And you can turn your eyes to the screen and see this as well. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. I want to submit to you this morning that God is even working over and through his enemies that day. Why did he not believe? He acknowledges you, but God is fulfilling a commandment that is going to come to fruition because he prophesied this through the hand of David many years ago, and listened to John through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God when he writes this in his letter. For these things were that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. The burial of Christ, there's some preparations being made here. There's some preparations being made, and God even using the wicked to bring about his plans. In fact, Isaiah 53, verse 9, we would assume that Jesus would be buried with the criminals. But they made his grave with the wicked. We would assume that. But I love this in Isaiah 53. This week, could you just do me a personal favor? Could you read Isaiah 53 this week as we approach Easter morning, as we approach Resurrection Day? Can you read over Isaiah 53 and you'll find words like this? And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Hundreds of years prophesied earlier. Christ is now coming off the cross. What are they going to do? And as this is so good, this is so good, this is so good. As Pilate said, can you go out and see if he is dead? And soldiers leave, and the religious scholars leave. There is one who steps in as they pass by. Joseph of Arimathea steps in. I want you to see your text. I want you to see Matthew 27, verse 15. And when evening had come, there came a what? A rich man. Buried with the rich. This rich man, fulfilling a prophecy. Preparations were being made in the burial of Christ as a rich man comes. I love what John writes about Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, who fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and he took the body of Jesus. Look at this. But secretly, Jesus had a secret admirer. Joseph of Arimathea, probably part of the Sanhedrin, probably a part of the Jewish Supreme Court of that day, someplace, some point in time. I don't know when it was the earthquakes that began. I don't know if it was the temple that was torn in two, but at some place in Joseph of Arimathea's life, he placed his faith and trust in Jesus as a secret disciple. Scared of what? If he stepped out, can you imagine what he would lose? He'd lose his reputation in front of all those Jewish scholars. That he believed that Jesus was the Messiah and the man that he was claiming to be. Can you imagine what he would lose? He'd lose his reputation, lose his income. He would lose so much on it. He was a secret disciple. Look what Luke wrote. See what Luke writes about Joseph of Arimathea. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented. He didn't agree what was happening with Jesus here. He didn't consent to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of Jews, who himself, listen to this, if you're taking notes, you want to underline this part, and was also waiting for the kingdom of God. The secret disciple was waiting for the kingdom of God. The secret disciple was watching what was being done with Jesus. The secret disciple was a good and just man, waiting for the kingdom of God. I love how Mark puts it in Mark chapter 15, verse 43. Mark that down in your Bible. Mark says that he took courage. Think of the courage it must have took of Joseph, who's knowing he's about to lose everything, walks into Pilate and asks for the body of Jesus. Can you imagine? I'd be shaking in my boots. But there was a point in the secret disciple's life. I don't know when it was, but I know this. God was working in the heart of a man to go before and to ask for the body of Jesus. Can I just push pause for a second? There's been some secret disciples in our room. Oh, you've wanted to step out of those pews. Oh, you've wanted to step out in your family. Oh, you wanted to step out with your friends. But can I just encourage you to take courage? Learn from the life of Joseph of Arimathea to take courage, to stand up and to step out and to go public with what Christ is impressing on your life. Joseph of Arimathea is doing this, but Jesus has another secret admirer. His name's Nicodemus. There's another person that's walking in and suggesting things, and it's Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night. He also came bringing a mixture of myrrh, aloes, and 100 pounds. We remember Nicodemus, don't we? John chapter 3. Jesus looks at this well-educated man, powerful man, certainly, and he says, "You must be born again." He didn't say it quite like that. But that's a great song, "You Must Be Born Again." He looks at Nicodemus and tells him, "You must be born again." Nicodemus is saying, "How do I be born again? How does this make sense?" At some point in Nicodemus' journey, he places his faith in Christ. He believes in the Messiah. Preparations are being made all throughout the burial of Christ. Look what it says right there in John. He came, stepped out, a mixture of myrrh. I want you to see the second thing. I want you to note the second thing, the procedures of his burial. Did you write that down? The procedures of his burial. As Nicodemus is bringing those aloes, as he's bringing those 100 pounds, he's bringing the myrrh, they bring the linen, as they would wrap over the body of Jesus, and we know that these women are there as well, and they're wrapping over this. You realize that this linen is a picture of righteousness, and so they're wrapping the body of Jesus. You know, such a hard thing for a high priest and about the issue of clothing himself. On the holy days, as he stepped into the Holy of Holies, he would wrap himself with a fine linen, the symbol of righteousness. So many of the religious leaders of the day, and probably many of us in this room as well, potentially, misunderstand that the clothing doesn't make the man. Amen? Listen to what Jesus spoke to the Pharisees about. That's kind of strong. This is from paraphrase, but I think it proves the point. As Jesus speaks to the Pharisees, "You are hopeless. You religion, scholars, and Pharisees, frauds. You are like manicured grace plots. Grass clipped and the flowers bright, but 6 feet down it's all rotting bones, worm-eating flesh. People look at you and think you're saints, but beneath the skin, you're total frauds." Like, Jesus looked at them and said that, right? Like, that's stuff we say about the preacher at our meal about 12:30, right? But, like, Jesus looking square in the face, said, "You are total frauds." But that day, as they wrap the body of Jesus, he's no fraud, it's the very Son of God, as they wrap him in linen, the picture of the righteous Son of God. They wrap the body, the procedures. They put myrrh on him. Isn't it fascinating that that's what the wise men brought to Jesus the day that he was born? Remember those three wise men? Well, we think there's three, it could have been more, but you remember those wise men? They came and they brought their gifts, and they bring myrrh for 33 years here. Now at the end of his life, they bring the same symbol of myrrh, and they wrap him and they clothe him with all aloes and perfumes. There's procedures being made. But Mary and Mary are there. Look at verse 61. "And Mary Magdalene was there, in the other Mary, Mary of James, and the sons of Zebedee." They're sitting opposite of the tomb. The original language here suggests that they sat directly across from the tomb, and they wept and mourned and watched. They wept, mourned, and watched that tomb. They wept, they mourned, and they're watching that tomb. They're just looking at it, remembering the things that he said, staring at it. This is going to be a spoiler alert, okay? But I can't help but do it. Matthew 28, verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him. dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and indeed is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran and bring the disciples, his disciples' word. And as they went to tell his disciples, met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to him, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Mary and Mary, dear friends, experienced the resurrection of Christ. They just didn't hear about it. They were there. Eyewitnesses of the fact that Christ himself is out of the grave. He's not here. He's resurrected. Procedures, the preparations, but I want to land on this, and this is going to be worth coming for, friends, the purposes of his burial. Why was it so necessary that he was buried? It's such a picture of taking away our sins. If you have First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, I want you to see the purpose of his burial. His resurrection is to fulfill the scriptures, that he would take away the sins of all those who call upon the name of the Lord. Your sins can be forgiven. Of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 4, for I delivered to you first of all that which I received. These are the most important things the Apostle Paul is bringing forth, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. That he was buried, that he died, that he came out of the grave. He was resurrected. The purpose of his burial is this. It's the picture of sin being taken away from our lives. For all who call upon the Lord will be saved. But dear friends, let me give you an encouraging word. You pull out that pen, lipstick, mascara right now, because I'm going to give you an encouraging word the Lord just put inside of my bones like fire. I want you to write these things down, because there are some of you that absolutely, so desperately need to be reminded of this word. It's in Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He says, he has cast our sins into the depths of the sea. He buried them in the deepest part of the ocean. You listen to that over there in the psalmist as he pens these words in Psalms 103, verse 12. He has removed our sins as far as from the east is to the west. Because he was buried, he's taken them from the east to the west. Dear friends, listen to Isaiah's words when he writes that he has put them behind his back. God is not some senile God and simply forgotten. He has chosen to blot them out, wash them away by his blood, and forgive you of those sins. He's put them behind his back by choice, never to bring them up again. Dear friends, why are we so willing to remember the things that Christ has so clearly forgiven us of? He said, I put them behind my back. Listen to this next verse in Jeremiah. He will remember our sins no more. Some of you need this word. Some of you need this word this morning. But can I just land on one of the most obscure passages probably in our Bible? Tucked away over there in 2 Kings. In 2 Kings chapter 13, you just blow the dust off of 2 Kings chapter 13 this week in verses 20 and 21. And what you'll find is this. Elisha has just died. And the Moabites have come in and raided, and they plundered, and they left people dead. The Moabites come in. Elisha is there in his tomb. And they take a body. They take a body and they throw it into the tomb. I'm not making this up. You can read it. And when that dead body touches Elisha's bones, he comes back to life and walks out of that grave. What? Portions of your scripture, you say, what just happened here? This most obscure passage, just two little verses hanging out right there that drive us all the way back to the fact that Christ was buried for us, and we who are dead in our sins, separated from God, if you come in contact with the whole set you bring, and you walk out of this place alive, praise God! Praise God! I'm not walking around chained to sin anymore. He set me free, and I can live free indeed. Amen, church? I don't have anything else to say. That's it, Pastor Dustin. It doesn't get any better to live as free people this week in Christ Jesus. But, dear friend, there are some of you this morning, you're secret admirers, and this morning I'm asking you to make it public. Step out of that pew as we begin to sing. Come down here and say, I'm giving my faith to Jesus Christ. I want the church family to know I haven't been baptized, but I need to be baptized. Christ died for me. I want my in Christ. Behold all things are new. Forget all the things that have passed away. I am a new creation in Christ. Some of you need to make that decision today. Place your faith and trust in Christ. Some of you need to make the decision of baptism. You need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Some of you this morning need to join this fellowship. Join this fellowship. Why is it so important that you can grow in the grace and knowledge here at this fellowship? That you can use the gifts that God has given you to serve His body. That's why it's important. There may be something else on your heart this morning that you simply just need to come and do business with God. Do obedience as the Lord leads you to. Can I pray for us this morning? Let's pray together. This morning, you may be in that first camp I mentioned. You do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you died today, do you know that you'd be with Jesus Christ in eternity? The Bible says there's either two ways. Only through Jesus Christ will you see God the Father, and you'll experience the glories and splendors of heaven and having Christ as your King. Where the Bible says, eternity without Jesus in a place called hell. Love how my mentor and hero, Dr. Jerry Vine, says it. You don't have to go to heaven, you don't have to go to hell, but you can't stay here. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Ma'am, I'll be standing right down here. I would love to introduce you. Take an open Bible and show you how today you can be a dead man walking out alive in Jesus. I would love to show you that through the pages of Scripture. I'll be standing here today, dear friend. If you want to come and follow the Lord in a believer's baptism, join this fellowship, or if you simply just want to follow, it is in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word that communicates to us your power by your Spirit, that we can be forgiven of our sins. We thank you that Jesus was buried and resurrected out of the grave. Lord, I pray right now for those who are. Lord, I pray today you give them the boldness to step out, step forward, place their faith and trust in you. We love you. We praise you for being alive today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and sing with me? You come as the Spirit of God leads. I'll be standing right here.
What can away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fountain, no, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Precious. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fountain, no, nothing but the blood of
Michael. Thank you, Pastor Dustin, Pastor Josh. Such a powerful, we're about to pray and go. I want to remind you, take this message between now and this Holy Week as we get ready for Easter. Just take that message to somebody you know. Hey, tomorrow night, we're going to meet here at 5:30 for dinner. Our go night is on, and we want you to come at 6. If you're not going to eat, come at 6. Pick up a couple of bags. We're going to egg our neighbors. We're going to take some neighbors back to your neighborhood and invite them to our Easter events this coming week. What a great way to do that. Come back tonight and join us as we have worship. Bible study at 5 this afternoon, then worship tonight at 6:30. Let's pray together as we go. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this powerful message from the gospel. Father, we share that message with those we come into contact with so that they can hear about the saving grace of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to do that. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. If you're a guest this morning, Pastor Josh and his wife are going to be in the Welcome Center right behind me. Stop by there and greet them. God bless you. Have a great day.